This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that we can come to you today in your presence. Lord, as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us through your word, that you will give us the words of eternal life, that it may produce its purpose in us, not return void to you, but accomplish life in and through us. We thank you for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been exploring the grade sevens. You can go to your discipleship class, grade sevens there at the back in my office. We've been exploring Abram's faith, the father of our faith, what made his faith so great that God would make a covenant with him and his descendants and all that believe like him. What made Abram's faith so great? And we're already at part five. If you've missed out, please, the sermons are for free on the web. It's interesting, as we looked at Abram's faith, how God called Abram out of this, out of his world, out of his country, his family, and his father's house, to go to a place that he did not know. God called him out of his world. And Abram responded. He believed God. He obeyed God by acting on his faith. He acknowledged God as the source of everything that he had, and he had to learn patience in faith. And Abram was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. And so he placed his faith in God's word, in his promise, and he had hope in something yet unseen. That's what we read of Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. We read the definition of faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You see, Abram had this hope that steered his life. This hope was not wishful thinking or denial. This hope was faith in the character of God. Therefore, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. But there was this one thing that Abram desired more than anything else in this world. This one thing. Abram desired to have his own son. And so God promised him a son. It's quite an amazing promise, because his wife was barren and he was an old man. It was impossible, yet God promised him what was yet unseen, what was impossible, to have a son. And even after Ishmael was born, God revealed that this is not the promised son. And Abram believed God and waited 25 years for that son to be born. At that time, when Isaac was born, he was 100 years old, and Sarah was not just barren, she was way past the time that it was possible to bear children. Isaac's birth was an absolute miracle. It was an absolute miracle. It was meant to be a miracle. And so indeed it was. And we read in Romans 4, verse 16, it points to something so powerful that we ought to have learned through the life of Abram. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be the guarantee of all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abram, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, he gives life to the dead and calls into existence that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told so your offspring shall be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's the faith of Abram. Isaac's birth was an absolute miracle. It was so evident that it could only have been God who gave him the son. And also that God's word and promises indeed is true. God made it clear that through faith and patience, his word will come to pass. His promises is true. Now, Abram must have loved this son. He must have really loved Isaac, his only son, the son of promise. This was the vindication of his faith, not just his son. It was far more than just his son. It was the vindication of his faith. It was the evidence of God's faithfulness. The miracle child. But when Isaac was a teenager, a young man, God tested Abram's faith. We read of this in Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, Abram. And he responded, Here I am. Then God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Everything up to now in Abram's relationship with God was to teach him about faith. From trust to obedience, from obedience to patience, to the covenant that was made as the assurance of the promise, to the fulfillment of it. But up to now, Abram's faith did not really cost him anything. Maybe the tithe that he gave to Melchizedek, but God blessed him with so much more, he didn't really cost him much. Up to now, his faith led only to his own benefit. But God tested his faith. Will you believe in me, trust in me, even if it would cost you that what you loved most? Will you trust and obey me, even if it cost you that what you love the most in your life? Will you give me your son, your only son? What would we have done? Would we have reasoned, resisted, chose not to obey? Oh, Abram must have reasoned. He must have resisted. It wasn't an easy question to answer. Far more difficult, this request that God had made, that made no sense to his own understanding, to his own experience. It had no place of reason within his heart where he could find some consolation that this will turn out other than what it so obviously seems to be. Abram must have reasoned, resisted in his heart and mind all night long, but he did not disobey. Even though he did not understand, we read in the very next verse, verse 3, So Abram rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took his two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. It was a 3-day journey. It must have been the longest journey Abram ever took. 3 days walking with his son, the son whom he loved, the vindication of his faith, the evidence of the faithfulness of God. A lot of time to think and reconsider. On his way to that mountain, his son Isaac asked him a very obvious question, a very painful question. We read of this in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder to worship, and we will come back to you." So Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two went together. But Isaac spoke to Abram, his father, and said, "Just like God did, my father." And Abram said, "Here I am, my son." And then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" That must have been a difficult question to answer. Verse 9 or verse 8, we read, Abram said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." So the two of them went together. I wonder whether Isaac had faith in God or faith in his father. But that wasn't the point. It wasn't testing Isaac, it was testing Abram, because he knew. Was Abram lying to his son, or was he speaking from faith? Abram had 3 long days to think about that question. Not the question from his son, but the question in his own heart. His son simply asked the question that he has been wrestling for 3 days. 3 long days. "God promised me a son. He said it would be from Isaac, not Ishmael, that the inheritance, the promise, will come." How is this possible that God desires of me to kill my son? It must have been very difficult emotionally and intellectually for Abram. "It is my only son, the promise of God." This is hard to understand. Genesis 22 verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abram built an altar. It must have been a difficult build. And there he placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And then Abram stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Was Abram lying to his son? Or was this faith? At that very moment, the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abram, Abram." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abram lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. What a powerful shadow of what was to come. It's on that mount that God will provide, and some believe that that same mount was the mount on which Jesus was crucified. Was it a lie or was it faith? Hebrews gives us insight into this question. Hebrews 11 verse 17, "By faith Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he, whom he had received the promise, offered up his only son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." You see, Abram did not lie to his son. He had faith. Even though he did not understand, even though he could not see, even though his reasons and his intellect gave him no consolation, he had no rest in his heart or soul except his faith that God is good and his word is true. It is perfect. All God's ways are just and as righteous. Even though I do not see it now, I will obey him because my faith and trust is in his word and his character, not in my understanding. And so Abram was willing to do what God said. How did God respond to this faith? "Then the angel of the Lord called Abram a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, with blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand on which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.' So Abram returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abram dwelt there." Abram not only had faith in God's word, in his promise, but even more faith in God's character. His word, his character, his integrity, and his power. Even though it did not make human sense, he trusted God and acted on his faith, was obedient, and kept on following God. Abram had a lot of opportunity to turn around, a lot of reason to be offended and not continue to do what God said. Even though it made no sense and he did not understand this hard saying and request of God, despite it all, he chose to obey God, to do what God said. 2,000 years later, after that event in Abram's life, Jesus stood up and said to a crowd who wanted to make him king, for what he could do for them, for what they could see and believe that he could provide for them in the natural, for what they could see and eat, for what they could understand. Jesus said to them in John 6 verse 46, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Therefore, the Jews quarreled amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat. How is this possible? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, because it was so hard to understand, to intellectually take hold of it and understand how is this possible, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Eating my flesh, drinking my blood. The lack of your understanding, does this offend you? What I have just said? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus' words did not make sense to them either. It was hard to understand. And they had opportunity to leave Jesus, to following no longer, to be offended. And then we read in verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more, because it was too hard to understand. And then Jesus turned to the 12. Do you also want to leave me? But Simon Peter answered him, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, just like Abram, they had the opportunity to be offended, to turn around, not to finish the journey. But they chose not to. They chose to keep on believing, following, and obeying Jesus. Jesus started off by saying in verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Do you believe this? If we do, if we believe this statement of Jesus, that whosoever has faith in him has everlasting life, if we believe these words that are spirit that gives life, the words of eternal life, if we believe this sentence of Jesus, we should also believe the rest that he said. As hard as it may be to understand, as difficult it may be for our intellect and our heart and our emotions to take hold of it, if that is true, then everything else that Jesus said is true. And faith is based not on what we understand, but what we believe, what we trust, because we have come to know and believe that he is indeed the Son of God, and that only he has the words of eternal life. When we are confronted by this world and the wisdom of this world and the doctrines of this world, who do we believe? Why do we believe what we believe? Is it simply because we understand, or it makes sense to us emotionally? Or do we believe because Jesus said it to be? Even though it may be hard to understand, or even be offensive to us or the world, when it comes to sexuality, morality, justice, righteousness, godly living, Jesus still asks, does this offend you? Do you also want to leave me? I pray our answer will always be, but to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Son of God. That's why we continue on this journey. I pray that that will be our response always. The reason we continue to follow and obey. The same reason Abram did, the same reason his disciples did, the same reasons of millions of Christians after them continue to follow, and the same reasons they will continue, the disciples of Jesus. Only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Son of God. If you believe, you trust, and you have endurance, patience, your hope set fully on Him, fully assured, convinced that He is able to do what He promised, you too will reap the fruit. As we heard this morning, that word that came, His word will not return void, but will accomplish His purpose, which is everlasting life, not through your works, but through your faith in Him. Not through the obedience of a law out of compulsion, but because of faith in Him. That will lead to eternal life. I want to ask the ushers to hand out the elements of communion. And I want us just to close our eyes as they do so. I want us to take a moment and consider these words of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit, I trust, has been speaking to each and every one of us. Let's just close our eyes. Father, I pray in these moments, Lord, as we wait for the flesh and the blood that seals our eternity, Lord, that we will consider your words. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that what you've laid in our hearts, each one of us individually, different things, Lord, I pray that right now we will respond in our own heart, in our own words, to you. Take this time, this next minute or so, and just speak to the Lord in your own words, according to your own heart. God, I thank you for those words this morning. The prophetic words that said that we must trust in you. That we must live our lives as worship unto you. And that you say that we must be born again. It's not the philosophy of man. It's not the doctrine of a church. It's your words, God. I'm reminded of John 15, that you spoke, as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. God, we thank you that it is your words that leads us to eternal life. It is your words that leads us to the love of the Father and keeps us there. God, I pray that as we follow it, that we may continue to believe what you say, that it is your joy in us that will be fulfilled when we obey, and that our joy may be full. It is the testimony of my life. You are true, your words are true, and it leads to eternal life, here and in the life to come. God, I pray for each and everyone here today, Lord, that we will choose today to put our faith in you. Not in what we understand, or what we feel, or what the world may say or feel, but what you say. Oh God, I pray that you grant us the same faith as Abram had to follow you. To follow you. Thank you, God, that you lead us not to destruction, but you lead us to eternal life. Thank you, God, that you are the one that leads us to water where there's rest, to green pastures where there is peace. You lead us, Lord, even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death as we are following you. We will not fear, because our trust is in you. And on the other side of this valley, there is a table prepared for us. And our cup is not half empty. It is overflowing in the presence of our enemies as you vindicate us because of our faith in you. So today we declare, we choose to follow you. If you are here this morning and you want to make this decision, you have never made this decision to follow him with everything, as God calls us, as he invites us. If that is you today and you want to surrender your life, you want to say, yes, God, I want to follow you like Abram did, Lord, even though I cannot see yet, even though I do not understand yet, Lord, I choose to believe because you have spoken it. If that is you today and you want to give your life to God, be reconciled with him, because he says, if you have faith in my son, I will make you clean. I will adopt you as my own, and I will give you an inheritance forever. If that is you today and you want to surrender your life, as all the eyes are closed, just raise your hand and say, God, here I am. I choose to give you my life. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. You can raise them up high and then you can drop them again, because it's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Oh, Father, I pray for each and every decision. Even now, if there's others who want to respond, you can raise your hand right now. Father, I thank you that you came to give us life. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. You came to give us life, and you said, it is through my Son. You said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He is the way to eternal life. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I thank you for every heart, every soul that chooses to believe you today. Just like Abram, it was accounted for him as righteousness. So to this day, you account them as righteous because they chose to believe you, to put their trust in you. And so I want us all to pray this prayer, especially those who gave their life today. Father God, we choose to believe in you. We believe what you said about this Jesus, your Son, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, You are God yourself that came to us, to save me. Thank you that through faith in you, I can be saved. Today I choose to believe you, your word. It's your word that became flesh, lived amongst us, became our sin for us, and died on the cross so that the cost, the penalty of my sin can be paid through him and not through me. Thank you for this grace. I choose to believe and accept you today as my Lord and Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life until I see you face to face, and that joy may be full in your presence. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this bread that you have given as a remembrance, because you are the bread of life, and you eats your flesh and drinks your life as eternal life. God, we choose to remember the cost and your word as we eat this flesh. In Jesus' name, we eat it in faith. Lord, we thank you for this cup, the blood that was shed for us. God, we choose to believe that this is eternal life. Faith in you, faith in your sacrifice. And because we have faith in you, this blood of your Son seals us for eternity. We thank you for this as we drink together. In Jesus' name. Us all to stand as we're going to worship together. If you have responded today to God by giving your life, the Word of God says the first thing you do after you have believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth is you have yourself baptized, because that is the outer call of the New Testament. That is the response. What makes baptism so powerful is that you declare, as we just did with communion, that today I am crucified with Christ, that my body of sin might be done away with, that I'm dead with him, but that I'm also be raised to new life, that just as Christ lives his life for God, so too today I will live my God for him, my life for him. If that is you today, you can come as you are. If you go in with your clothes, I will go in with mine. You don't need special clothes. We have extra towels. If you are not sure, come next Sunday, because we'll do it again. If you want to invite friends or family, next Sunday. But if you are ready today, like the Ethiopian on the chariot that asked Stephen, what hinders me? And he said, if you believe, nothing. And he said, stop this chariot right now. There's the water. Let's seal it now and forever. That's what baptism does. So I want to encourage you, if you've not been baptized yet, why wait? Why wait? Why wait? Jesus was baptized. He did not wait. He had nothing to prove. He had no sin. He had nothing to repent of. But so that all righteousness will be fulfilled, he went to the water, because he is the example of those who want to be in him. So have yourself baptized. We're going to do it straight after the service. It is now 10:45, 11:30. We will be at the Old Harbor. I want to invite you all to join us, those who have been baptized, to encourage and also to make a statement of faith in this community that the kingdom, not shofar, the kingdom of God is alive. Men and women are giving their lives to Jesus and entering into the kingdom through the way of the word, Jesus, that became flesh, that lives forever. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.